In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. Today, this Sunday, we commemorate one of the three resurrection miracles of Jesus that are recorded in Holy Scripture. In the account that we heard today, which is only reported by Luke, we see Jesus' deep compassion toward the grieving widow of Nain, who has lost her only son and provider. Now we heard the story is very brief. Not much is there. He comes into the city of Nain and he sees a funeral procession of a man who has been dead for quite some time, and we know this because he was about to be buried. And at that time, it wasn't quickly that there was burial, because there was time of preparation and so on and so forth. And this procession passed by him. So there was a meeting, if you will. It wasn't that he in particular was looking for this or they were looking for him. It was a meeting. It coincided together. And our Lord said to the woman, "Do not weep." And he touched the bier. Now this is a stand where the corpse or the coffin would be placed in a procession. Who is this that says, "Do not weep"? Who has the right to tell a woman who has lost her only son, a woman who is a widow, a woman who has nothing more in this world for sustenance? Who would say this to this person at this time? Remember, in those days, to be a widow was to be truly, truly poor. There was no financial security, no financial safety net for such people. They were destitute because they had not a husband or a son. She was totally lacking any help in the world. Not only had she lost her son, but also was likely to endure the remainder of her life in poverty. But our Lord said, "Do not weep." Certainly, we would not assume to tell anyone not to weep at the loss of their child. But the Lord does in this chance meeting, this chance encounter. Why did he do this? Why did he say this to her? He had compassion on her, of course. And he knew what she needed. He knew what she was experiencing. He knew what she was going through. He knew what she faced for the remainder of her life. He knew that he could, and he knew that he would provide what she needed. Only he could remove the cause of her grief. Only he could remove the deep and true cause of her grief. So he stopped this procession. He put his hand on the stand there, on the coffin. He touched the stand. The fathers of the church thought this to be very significant, and many wrote about it. In the iconostasis that we have here, this icon of the Theotokos and the Christ child, we know it as the glykophilousa, the sweet kissing. And it shows the Theotokos, the mother of our God, with her son, kissing her on the cheek, offering to her love and compassion, a very tender and loving icon. It means the same thing as what he meant when he touched this coffin, and when he touched the mother of this, her son, who she had just lost. After all, he became man. He took on our flesh to transform us because he loves us. He is not an aloof God. He is not a distant God. He is not an uncaring God. He is right here and he is right now, as he was right then and there with the grieving widow. And he touched this coffin to show us, to show them, and to show us today his great love, and to show how he would transform us as he himself had transformed his own flesh. And what was the response? What did those who were carrying this dead man do when Jesus touched the coffin? What did the gospel tell us? They stood still. They did not move any further. They were seized with fear. They possibly were amazed that someone who touched what was to them ritually unclean. And they waited. They stood there and they waited on Jesus. And then he takes the action. He intervenes in the circumstances of what was seemingly an insignificant and maybe even a common group of people. Young man, he said, I say to you, arise. And the dead man, as the gospel states, sat up and began to speak. And how did they respond? What's the last few verses of this passage we read? They glorify God. A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. So this miracle that we heard about today reveals to us several realities about the relationship of God and his creation. First, when we pull back from the scene and reflect on our own lives, here and now as we sit here or as we stand here today, it is not difficult to identify with the widow on some level. Like her situation, it could be the death of a loved one, or it could be someone with a serious and debilitating illness. It could be a struggling or a failed business or job. It could be a marriage or a parent-child relationship that is suffering from conflict. It could be because of a child or a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife or someone that is loved who has turned away from a life of Christ. On and on and on. The result is the same. We find ourselves in sorrow, consumed by grief and sadness or even anger. It was at such a time that the widow heard the voice of our Lord announce, "Do not weep." Not that the entrance of Christ in our sorrow will be as bold or as dramatic as what was described in the gospel. Do not weep. Yet, our grief may be not eliminated instantaneously, as was the widow's. Rather, the point of the gospel is not to teach that Christ will always instantly appear to take every cause of sorrow away from our lives. It is to illustrate to us powerfully, dramatically, that the power of the resurrection of Christ is still present to us today, even in our grief, even in our sorrow, even in our suffering, even in our anger. No, we are to wait on the Lord just as these individuals did. We are to wait on him patiently, as difficult and near impossible as that may seem to us. Remember the group with the dead man. They stood still and they waited. The psalmist reminds us this in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. When he touches you, when he touches us, we need to stand still and listen. And finally, the compassion Jesus had for the physical needs of people, such as the widow and her son, is a sign of his greater concern for the needs of their souls. Throughout Scripture, we hear about Jesus' acts of compassion for the sick and the suffering, for children, for women, for men, for everyone, for the powerful, for the weak. Because Christ is the compassionate one. He is the one who fills with compassion those who are filled with him. We too must be moved by compassion for others. And it is only then that we can truly be good stewards of what God has given us. We heard the epistle today about being a cheerful giver. But you see, stewardship is not about simply or solely raising or giving money. More importantly, for us, it is a response from the depths of our heart, of our being, to our Creator, and to the compassion of Jesus that activates our faith and motivates us to share our abundance with others in need. So let us today receive the compassion of Christ, just as the widow did. Let us receive him in our worship. Let us receive the compassion of Christ in the Eucharist. And let us take the love and the mercy and compassion of Christ to our home, to our family, to our church community, to our community in the city, to those that are in need, to those that are despondent, to those that are suffering, to those that are sick. Let us do that today. And let us then say, as he said to us, do not weep. Amen.